Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Lift your hands toward heaven and honor the Lord. Can you talk to Him now? Make it personal. Make it personal. Make it personal. Our time is short, and so you have to touch heavens very quickly. Ask Him for an encounter tonight. Ask Him for a touch. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy. Your Spirit will reign mightily upon us, and let there be transitions, transfigurations, and transformation, that at the end everyone will be upgraded to operate even at a higher level of glory. Take all the praise, take all the honor in Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Tonight is a night of praise, so I'll just give a short charge for about 30-35 minutes. And then I'll allow us to dance and to praise. It's Tehillah, Champions Conference, Tant Tehillah. So it's a night of praise. It's a period and a time of praise. And so we'll be doing a lot of praising and a lot of thanksgiving. Just touch the keyboard for me. Give me some floating sound. Praise God. The realm that we are living in. You know, sometimes when I begin to contemplate the workings of God, I marvel. I marvel so much. When I began studying my Bible, I discovered that all that we know about God is trapped in just one syllabus of God as creator. Everything God is and everything God is doing, everything the Bible has revealed about God is all part of his operation as a creator. He is Lord because he owns creation. He is God because he is the source of all things. He is love because he loves his creation. He is light because he gives illumination to his creation. And so all of the things we know about God is trapped only in one aspect of his being. The question I begin to ask myself is, what was he before he began the project of creation? Because he existed for aeons before creation ever began. What was he doing? Who was he? What was he? If all that we already know is about him within the context and the confines of Creator, who is he? You know, we are here to praise God, but it's important for us to understand who he is. Because when you look at the word Tehillah and you begin to study it in depth, there are two dimensions to it. The first dimension to Tehillah is actually not praise, it's glory. Because you can't praise God until you know him. It's the second dimension of the word Tehillah that speaks about the prayer of praise, the sound of praise, the voice of praise. And so if we really want to appreciate the context and the emphasis of this word that we want to study a bit tonight, we have to begin to journey into the womb of the term called glory. Because that is where the reality and the totality of God is embodied. But you see, it will be a difficult thing to do. However, we will try to scratch. We will scratch and see how much can be revealed to us as mortals. Abba, Father, have mercy. As a disciple, he even wrote the synoptic gospel. He was part of those who wrote the gospels, and he thought he knew him until he was carried to heaven. When he met him in glory, God, Jesus, had to reintroduce himself. How can you be with a man for a period of time and you now meet that same man and he's needing to introduce himself to you? You thought you have met him. The Bible said he's the one that the Lord loved. He put his head on his chest. He was so intimate with God, so deep in intimacy. But when he met him in glory, he now discovered that this is a deity. The essence of this being is past finding out. Because when you look at God, every aspect of him is something. Hand is a different thing. Eyes means something else. The hand of God speaks of his power. It's only a man that thinks hand is for eating. But in the realm of God, when he shows his hand, you see power. So God can stretch his hand and a nation can fall. When Egypt fell, God was stretching his hand. You know, Pharaoh was operating as a sun god, a king that ruled over the earth. The thought of Pharaoh alone triggered dread in the hearts of people. And he was operating like an iron god. And suddenly God said to Moses, I will stretch my hand over Egypt. And when God stretched his hand over Egypt, Egypt fell. So what is this deity? The healer. Let's begin. Let me take us on a journey. My time is scaring me. My time. When I look at the time, my spirit comes down. Okay, maybe let me just talk on praise. We can't do glory. This time won't let us. So let's talk on praise. Why do we praise God? So that we can just dance. Maybe at another time we'll do glory. Why do we praise God? Let's take some notes so that we can apply knowledge. We praise God for three major reasons, broad reasons. Number one, because of who He is. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. He said, I am the Lord. He said, there is none else. There is no God beside me. He said, I guided thee, yet thou hast not known me. I am the Lord. There is none beside me. There is no God apart from me. I am the only true God. And so when we come to God and we begin to pour unto Him praise, glory, honor, majesty, and thanksgiving, it's not primarily because of what He has done. It's because of who He is. And in this scripture, the Bible revealed to us that His being is what defines who we are. So when He said, I am God, it is in Him that you find meaning. The word God means the self-sufficient one. He doesn't need you to be, but without Him you cannot be. So when He said, I am God, He is also defining your essence. That is why He said, I was the one who shaped you. I was the one who guided you. So when you discover who He is, you have no choice but to praise Him. Now, you know that you didn't consult. You are enjoying life now. You are driving car, you love it. You are healthy, you love it. Did you advise Him to create you? You didn't go to the studio of eternity and say, there is something called life, and life is good. Create me, let me experience life. You didn't have the authority to operate there. He was the one who saw that life is good, and He decided to bring you into the equation. So even if He has not done anything for you yet, because you are in existence, you must praise Him. So when He said, I am God, He's telling you that I substantiate existence. It's because of me that you exist. Now, because of that, your life, you are already sentenced to praising Him. That means your existence will not count except as your life begins to praise His name. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, when the 24 elders were praising Him, they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And they began to show us why He is supposed to be praised. They said, for there is none like you. All things were created by you. You are the reason why existence is existence. And so if God were not present, existence wouldn't have been. And so when you find yourself in existence, the most relevant thing you can do for you to count is for you to begin to praise Him. This is why Psalm 150 verse 6 said, let everything that has breath. So long as there is breath in you, there's one thing you must do. He said, praise the Lord. Praise is the response to existence. When a man is not praising God, it means that man has not yet come into existence. Because you can be walking on earth, you are not here. The proof that you are here is that something comes from you as a response to God for who He is. I am the Lord. The second reason why we praise God is because of the things that He has done. He has done things that no other can or could ever do. In Exodus chapter 15 verse 11, you know, when He encountered Moses, Moses didn't know Him well enough. He told Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Moses said, wait, sir, I know you are talking from above, but Pharaoh is also a god. I ran away from Pharaoh. How will I approach him? This guy will kill you. He said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Now, if you were the one who left Egypt, you return. Is there an army coming with me? Because the Pharaoh we are talking about has an economic system. He has a military system. And is a ruler of the greatest civilization of the world. With what will I approach him? And he told Moses, because you have met me, everything you need is already with you. Moses thought it was a joke. He said, put your hand inside your womb and bring it out. And he put his hand there, the hand became leprous. He said, put it again, bring it out. The hand became normal. What is going on here? I am God. I created the hand. I don't need to talk. I can manipulate any being. The staff that Moses carried, he said, drop it on the ground. He wasn't talking. He didn't say staff become snake. No, drop it. When he dropped it, the staff became a serpent. And Moses ran away. He said, no, don't worry. Even the snakes worship me. You are the one who thinks, even the snake know me. He said, pick it by the tail. And Moses picked it, it became a staff. Now, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses would have been going and fidgeting. And when he came to Pharaoh, the God of the Hebrew, he didn't call him my God. I'm not yet sure if I will survive. The God of the Hebrew have sent me. And he said, let my people go that they may serve me. And Pharaoh said, who is your God that I should obey him? Immediately, Moses dropped his staff to see whether it will work. This thing that worked on Horeb, hope it will work in Pharaoh's palace. Even Pharaoh's palace is sustained by God. And when the staff became a serpent, Moses became bold. This thing is working. This thing is working. And the magicians too came and said, is this all you can do? They too dropped their staff. And their staff also became serpent. And Moses became afraid. Hey, this thing God showed me, other people can also do it too. Suddenly, the snake of Moses developed intelligence and began to swallow the serpents of Pharaoh's magician. He didn't see that on the mountain, but the power of the highest was at work. The moment Moses saw that happen, he now discovered that this God is greater than every other God. And Moses began to operate like a lord over Pharaoh. Moses will come to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, by this time tomorrow, this and this will happen. And he will walk away. And 9 times he plagued Egypt. Until the 10th time, he came to Pharaoh and said, you will not see me again. He has known this God to a level where he too can be bold. You will not see me again. How can you talk to Pharaoh like this? Is it not the same Pharaoh that you were shaking? You were afraid of meeting. You will not see me again. And he walked away. That night, when all the firstborn sons died, Pharaoh said, go and tell him to go. And Moses stood up. As Moses was about going, God told him, what you saw is nothing. This is when the show is about to begin. And suddenly, the Shekinah appeared from heaven. Light appeared. Fire. Literal fire appeared from heaven and began to lead them. So they were walking by a compass of Zion. In the daytime, it was a cloud. At night, it was a fire. They now came before the Red Sea. There was no boat that could carry 4 million people. What? We have left Pharaoh. Now there's a sea before us. Lord, have mercy. He said, no, go forward. Because if I do for some time, I will make you too to start doing. Stretch your staff. And when Moses stretched it, the sea parted. And 4 million people walked through the sea on dry ground. You know what happened? Oh my God. When they crossed over to the other side, and Moses turned and looked at Egypt behind him, the armies of Egypt drowned. That was when Moses realized that this God deserves praise. He didn't praise God in Horeb. He didn't praise God in Egypt. Now that Egypt is behind him, he knows that Kai, this God truly is a deliverer. And he said in Exodus 15 verse 11, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside him, glorious in holiness, cheerful in praise, doing wonders. Doing wonders. Doing wonders. You know the problem? See, Moses was still learning spiritual things. That's why he praised God after God did something. But when Moses became mature, he discovers you don't need to praise him after he does it.
If you praise him, he will now do. Because praise is the natural response to the doer. And so a point came, it's no longer praising him for what he has done. You now praise him and he's doing. So when you are in a crisis, you are not waiting for God to intervene. You gather yourself together and you begin to praise the name of the Lord. And the same power that divided the Red Sea will appear in your matter. Why do we praise God? We praise God for what he does. And what he does include what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will yet do. That's why we praise God. So when we are praising God, we are not just excited. It's not an emotional thing. It can affect your emotion, but it's deeper than emotion. It's a weapon. See, there are many weapons available to a Christian. There is the weapon of the word. There is the weapon of prayer. There is the weapon of the blood. There is the weapon of eternal life. There is the weapon of the Holy Ghost at work. But of all of these weapons, the easiest weapon to wield is the weapon of praise. The moment you start praising God, you don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to attend a Bible school. You don't need to be an apostle. You don't need to be a prophet. You don't even need to have a good voice. Because it's not about voice. If it were about voicing, go to the angelic realm, you'll be shocked. If one angel sings here, you can't follow. This keyboard does not have enough. The octave here can't pick the resonance of an angel. It's too miniature. See, when you find angels, there are angels that play harps that have 21 strings. So you are asking yourself, which frequency is that? There are frequencies in heaven beyond here. See, when you are praising God, it's not about the voice. It's the essence of your being that is being released in gratitude to God. And so when you know this, before trouble comes, you start praising God. In the midst of trouble, you are praising God. When you are overcome, you are praising God. Because for you, it's a weapon. When you do it, it gets God to work. Why do we praise God? We praise God for what he does. And there are too many things he has done. You know what? When Mary was visited by the angel, and the angel told her, "You will be with son." She said, "How can these things be?" Because there are things that are possible with men, but there are other things that are possible only with God. How can these things be? And the angel told her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. That thing that shall be formed in you shall be called the Son of the Highest." A virgin can give birth. That is God doing. And the only way Mary could respond, because at first she couldn't contain it, but when she met Elizabeth, and the child in Elizabeth's womb greeted her. Because the angel told her, Elizabeth is with child. So she went to confirm what the angel had said. Elizabeth has passed the age of childbearing. If she can be with child, then it's possible that what this angel said will truly happen. I know I believe, but let me see some evidences. And when she went to Elizabeth, before she spoke, the child greeted her. Immediately she knew that this God is capable, and praises rose up from within her, and she began to magnify the name of the Lord. If you are not given to praise, it means you don't know that God works. You don't know the God of wonder. Because our praises is an attestation of our faith in the God that does wonders. Number three, why do we praise God? We praise God as a sign or a mark of gratitude. When a man cannot praise God, it means he's an ungrateful person. If you are grateful to God, the best way to show it is to give him thanks, is to give him praise, is to give him glory. If you start doing that, then heaven reckons that this one truly knows the impact of God in his or her life. In Psalm 116 verse 12, it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord?" Because for him, it's not just about the song. For him, it's not just about the kneeling down. For him, it's not just about the dancing. The dancing, the song, the kneeling down is because you are overwhelmed. You really don't know what to give. And when you check, there is nothing you can give that will be enough. You just decide to pour yourself to God. And so when you find people praising God, the way they praise God is a measure of their gratitude. Sometimes you come to a praise service and they are praising God. Some people are coordinating themselves. They are big boys. They are big women. You don't know the God you came to meet. You have not appreciated that God enough. When David saw that Saul wanted to kill him, yet he became king. When David saw that everything Saul did not work, and eventually he became a king, when he was praising God, he showed. The Bible said David praised God and danced until a king became naked and he was not aware. When Micah came to him and said, "Why are you behaving like this? Don't you know that a king should have some comportment? Don't you know that a king should have some courage?" David said, "Is your father Saul the one that made me king? It is the God of heaven that made me a king to sit on his throne forever. And so when I'm praising God, it is not because I love dancing. When I'm praising God, it's not because I love singing. When I'm praising God, it's not because I have a good voice. The depth of my praise is a testimony of my gratitude to God. So I can be a professor, I will dance. I can be a pastor, I will dance. I can be a billionaire, I will dance. Because it's not about my status, it's about his status. It's not about what I have, it's about what he has given me. It's not about who I am, it's about who he is. So I don't bother who I am. I will celebrate, I will dance. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Listen. Be a king in your palace, not in the presence of God. Be a professor in your university, not in the presence of God. Be a billionaire in your business, not in the presence of God. When we come to the presence of God, even if we have thrones, we will fall from our thrones. Even if we have crowns, we will cast our crowns away. That's what the 24 elders did. The Bible said they fell on their faces, they cast their crown, and they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Give the Lord a shout. Sit down for a moment. Thank you, Father. See, you may be in debt. You are owing somebody money. They are troubling you. When you wake up, is it not because you are alive that they are troubling you? When you wake up, I woke up this morning. See, thank God for the things that people think is nothing. I woke up this morning, glory to the Father, praise be the name of the Lord, and you start singing and you start dancing. Somebody looks at you, he thinks you won a lottery. You say, "No, I'm alive. And God kept me. I slept and woke up. I'm not carrying oxygen masks. I am alive. I am alive. I am alive. I am alive." Glory to God. I'm alive. And when God sees that, he says, "What? You can dance like this while you are in debt? You can dance like this while you are feeling pain? Because you have danced, I'm going to change your story. Because there is hope for a tree that is cut down. At the scent of water, it will sprout again." Give the Lord a shout. Sit down. Sit down for a moment. Please listen to me. Somebody's greatest crisis will disappear from this service. Somebody's biggest calamity will vanish from this service. Somebody's mountain will be uprooted from this service. I know they have laid hands on you. I know they have poured oil on you. I know you have fasted. I know you have prayed. But hear me. Praise is the last card. And it must work. Because tonight is your night. In the name of Jesus. Sit down. Let me show you quickly 6 things that God does when we praise Him. 6 things. So that when you are dancing, you will dance with consciousness. One of the things that makes spiritual things potent is when they are done with understanding. When you do spiritual things with understanding, it becomes very, very potent. So tonight, before I lead us into dancing and praising God, let me show you 6 things. So that as you are dancing, you put your mind there. You put your focus there. It's not just that. See, we don't do what we do because we are excited. Yes, we are excited people, but everything we do is a weapon. It's a mystery. The Bible said, him that sits in the heaven shall laugh. And then you think God is laughing because he wants to laugh. No. As he's laughing, he said he puts his enemies in confusion. So the laughter of God is confusion for the enemy. So when we are laughing in church, it's not because somebody is cracking a joke. When we are laughing in church, we are wielding a weapon. Sometimes you hear us in church, we are shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody looks at us and says, who are these fanatics? No, when we shout, we don't shout just because we are excited. He said, walk around Jericho once every day for 6 days. On the 7th day, walk 7 times. And after the 7th time, he said, blast the horn and let everyone shout. And as they shouted, the walls of Jericho went down. So when we are shouting, we are leveling our Jericho. When we are shouting, we are destroying Jericho. Elaka patakaya, paragada, dada, paracado. See, this is what, when we are in, you are in church, don't be lost and be carried away. Be focused. Be deliberate. Everything we are doing here, there's a spiritual implication. We are not mindless people behaving as if we don't have sense. No. What we are doing is a mystery. This is how we confuse the devil. When the devil thought we should be moody, we should be strategizing, we should be begging, we should be hoping, not knowing where to go, we now come from another direction and we start praising, we start dancing, and he's wondering, you are supposed to be thinking now, you are supposed to be strategizing now. No, we have different types of weapons. The Bible said Abraham did not concern himself with his impotence, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said he was giving glory to God. The devil thought he was stupid. You don't have a child. You should be worried. I've passed the level of worrying. I've passed the level of anxiety. And as he started dancing, suddenly, child came. Stomach grew. Isaac appeared. And he called him praise. Sit down for a moment. God bless you. Now, quickly. 6 things that happen when you start praising God. Number one, praise provokes multiplication and increase. The moment you start praising God, 1 can become 10. 10 can become 100. 100 can become 1,000. This is one of the mysteries. Listen, if you are hoping that your life will grow by the principles the word has outlined, you will not fulfill 30% of your destiny. There has to be mystery involved in your existence. So that when people are projecting the way he's going now, in 10 years, he should become this. In 6 months, you'll now become what they projected for 10 years. And they are wondering, how is it happening? You are breaking protocols. So there has to be a system of multiplication. In John chapter 6, Jesus was addressing over 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And then there was hunger after the 3rd day. And Jesus said, give them something to eat. The question you ask him is, how is that possible? The disciples told him, even if you have 1 year wages, it's not enough for everybody to have a bite. But Jesus knows something that is stronger than wages. Listen, principles are very powerful. Every Christian should live by principles. But there are realms beyond principles. The principle is sowing and reaping. When you sow, you will reap. But when you need to feed 5,000 men and they are hungry now, you don't have the luxury of sowing and reaping. You need something that answers in the present. And Jesus knew it. He said, what do you have? They said, there's nothing. Only a young lad has 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bring it to me. And when they brought it to Jesus, there was no big prayer. There was no shouting. There was no drama. I thank you, oh Father. I give you all the praise. Take, give them. I knew, if you were the one that collected the bread, what will you do? Give who? Where do I start from? Take, give them. And as they collected, you break it, you give someone, you check, the size is the same. You break it, you give another person, the size is the same. And you are breaking, the bread is growing. You are breaking, the bread is growing. You are breaking. And when 5,000 men were fed, women fed, children fed, what remained was 12 baskets. What was the power that provoked multiplication? I thank you, oh Father. I give you all praise. I give you all glory. Next time they have not paid you salary, don't cry. Carry your guitar. Carry your keyboard. Carry your tambourine and begin to dance and begin to pray. There is a technology of multiplication. You know what the Bible said? He said, look at Malachi. Let me show you a scripture quickly before we proceed. It's a body. Okay, let me leave that scripture. We don't have time. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19. Hear what the Bible says. I'm showing you things. See, we are men, but we are not just men. We are new creation. God lives on our inside. So we follow men to do what men do. But when what men are doing is no longer working, we switch. We switch to our God side. This is why you must know these things as a Christian. Otherwise, you will die like men. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. He said, so they fall like princes. He said, but I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. So if you don't know, you will suffer what they suffer. But you are not destined to suffer what men suffer. You are not destined to go through what they go through. Because there are mysteries that are made for your advantage. One of those mysteries is the mystery of praise. Jeremiah 30:19, he said, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. What was the next thing? I will multiply them. They shall not be few. I will glorify them. They shall not be small. What is the connection between thanking God and multiplication? It's a mystery. And that mystery is what praise comes to deliver. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 47, when Jesus left them, they were few men. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. How do you take over the whole world? How can you invite 12 men and then say, go into all the world? Which world do we start from? How do we take the world? But there were mysteries. And the disciples began to understand this mystery. One of the mysteries they found is the mystery of praise. In Acts 2:47, the Bible said, and they continued praising God. The moment they start praising God, he said they started having favor with people. And he said, the Lord added to the church daily. So there is a daily addition that can come to your life. The key to daily addition is not prayer, it's praise. The key to daily addition is not fasting, it's praise. Prayer has its power. Fasting has its power, but praise occupies its position. The moment you start praising God daily, your life begins to grow. Your money is growing, your health is growing, your family is growing, your progress is growing, and the world cannot explain it. They think it's somebody that is doing it. They go and speak bad of you to somebody. That relationship is cut up. You are still growing. They think it's a job. They go and attack the job. The relationship is still growing. They think it's a ministry. They attack the ministry. The relationship is still growing. Every other thing is a platform. The power for your multiplication is your intimacy in the place of praise. As you are praising God, the job may go, it will not stop you. The people may go, it will not stop you. The ministry may go, it will not stop you. Because all of those things are channel. The real power for your multiplication is in your praising God every morning. So you wake up in your bedroom, you trigger multiplication in your account by praising the name of the Lord. And they can't understand what is happening. As you praise God tonight, be mindful. Be mindful. Your ministry is about to multiply. Your voice is about to multiply. Your business is about to multiply. Your family is about to multiply. Don't be lost in the dance. Don't be lost in the excitement. It's a weapon you are wielding. Be mindful. You know, many Christians are emotional. When you sing a song that they like, they start dancing because they love the rhythm of that song. And then when you sing the one they don't like, they are like this. When you mature, both the ones that you like and the ones you don't like, you will dance to all of them. Because what you are activating is a power. It's a power. It's beyond emotion. It's beyond excitement. You are walking the corridors of a mystery. Praise provokes multiplication. Number two, praise engenders deliverance. This is why I'm telling you, this thing is not about emotion. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, you read from verse 10 to verse 24. They arrested Paul and Silas. They beat them for no just cause. They threw them into prison. They were wounded. They were embarrassed. They were insulted. Do you know what it means? Imagine a popular figure that is respected as an apostle. You are now walking through worry. You saw that they removed his clothes, tied him to a bench, and they are flogging him. And the guy left there. He said, this embarrassment can't stop me. He said, this beating can't stop me. Although the body was still aching, the Bible said at midnight, Acts 16, verse 25, he said, Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. If you were flogged naked in the market, will you have the mouth to sing? Will you be able to dance? Because you think it's about a feeling. But Paul knew it was a weapon. And so even though he was embarrassed, beaten, and frustrated, he didn't stop it. At midnight, the Bible said they began to sing. They began to dance. They began to praise God. After a while, an angel was mobilized from heaven and he landed in the prison. The foundation of the prison blew open. See, when, hear this, there are three ways of enjoying deliverance. Number one, you can ask for somebody who has the authority, he will provoke it. Jesus said, if you knock at the door, it will be open. That means it's the person who is inside that has the authority to open it. That's one way of getting deliverance, is by asking. The second way to get deliverance is by principles. It's called the key of heaven. When you know principles, you have keys. So you can apply them and deliverance will come. A door can open. But there is a third way that does not open the door. This one scatters the whole foundation. Because there are some doors that you will need many keys to open. And so if there's no time to use key, if there's no time to ask, go and blow up the foundation. And the code for blowing foundations open is by praising and by dancing. As Paul and Silas were praising God, the Bible said the foundation of the prison was shaking. When the foundation shakes, the door has no choice but to open. And immediately, the door opened. They became governors. They sat there. The jailer came and wanted to kill himself. They said, relax. You are not the one who kept us here. We are here to save you. So what the devil meant for evil for you can become your manifestation. I am not the prisoner. I came to save you from the prison of sin. And immediately that night, the man gave his heart to Christ. Because they knew something that engenders deliverance. If you don't praise, most of your battles will not go. There are battles that respond to prayer. There are battles that respond to fasting. There are battles that respond to anointings. But there are certain battles that until you praise, you will not see them. Most of the deliverances we are looking for, we have not entered into them because our lips is not full of praise. The Bible says, carry with you words. Let praises be on your lips. He calls it the double-edged sword. He has the power to tear open anything that is standing against you. So when you are praising God, be mindful that your captivity are over. That's why I say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, he said, we were like them that dreamed him. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. There is something about praise that is connected to your deliverance. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. When next there is danger, praise. When somebody threatens you, praise. When there is crisis, praise. I know some of these things and I have walked them. See, when you find certain Christians operating with audacity, it's because of what they know. There is no human being on earth that can threaten me. Not one. There's nothing on earth that can intimidate me. If you like, tell me you will die tomorrow. I will not pray about it. There's too much praise on my life for me to be in captivity. As I'm praising, praise becomes like an antidote to every captivity of my life. So even when I'm not praising, praying, I'm walking in deliverance because I'm too full of praise. Every cell in my body, praise God. I don't only praise Him with my mouth. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and your hand is shaking like this. Your hand. Sometimes the anointing is on your leg. You can't control it. It's shaking like this. You know that something is happening. Even your leg knows how to praise God. Sometimes you come under the anointing and then you can't talk anymore. The whole of your body is shaking. What do you think is happening? Your cells are responding to the presence of God. Your cells are responding to the glory of God. Because everything about you knows God. What do you think Jesus told them? He said, if you stop praising me, even the stones will rise up and start praising. Everything has enough intelligence to praise God. And so be mindful and be conscious. As you are praising God, nothing can keep you in captivity. It is the antidote to captivity. Any man who praises God walks in perpetual deliverance. Number three, what is the excellency of praise? Praise provokes an atmosphere for the miraculous. Nothing stirs miracle working power faster than praise. Ask those who walk in miracles, they will tell you. For some of us who travel, there are places you go to. You can't even start talking any deep thing. How do you run a crusade? People are coming from more than 30 churches with different doctrinal persuasion. You can't even preach for more than 1 hour. Because if you start touching any doctrine, you will violate what their church believes. You will now discover that there will be controversy in the atmosphere. So when you go there, just tell them about Jesus for 30 minutes and enter into praise. As you start praising God, things begin to happen in the spirit. Things begin to happen. And miracles, strange dimensions of miracles begin to happen on their own accord. That's the power of praise. Every time there is praise, every time there is thanksgiving, miracle becomes a byproduct. Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb. They said the guy is dead. John 11:40-43. And they said he has been buried for 4 days. If oxygen does not enter the brain in 4 minutes, the cells die. If oxygen does not get to the brain in 10 minutes, the cells begin to disintegrate. In 4 days, the brain would have decayed completely. There's no hope of restoration. But Jesus came. Thank you, O Father, because you always hear me. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. The next thing he turned, he was not sensing any anointing, but praise has gone up. Lazarus, come forth. The Bible said he that was dead came back to life. Because praise provokes the miraculous. Praise activates the power for miracle working dimension. What happened? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You hear the story of Jehoshaphat. Three nations ganged up against him. Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. They prayed, they fasted. Nothing happened. Suddenly, the Spirit of God came upon a man and said, let the singers go first. There are some things that intercessors do. There are other things that only singers can do. Let the singers go first. How do you go with war to war with trumpet? War is meant for soldiers who have mastered building weapons of different dimension and propensities. What does a singer has to do with war when he's carrying praise? That's a weapon. Let them go first. And let you sing. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. And as they were praising, the Bible said there was confusion in the camp of the enemy. And they turned against themselves. Two nations ganged up against one. These were people that gathered together, agreed to destroy. Two nations suddenly ganged up against one. When they finished that nation, they turned against themselves, killed themselves. It remained two men. One killed the other. Why will you not kill yourself? You see that the atmosphere had been conditioned. And when Israel came, they came to war. They started carrying gold, carrying silver. And they gathered the spoil and went away. Some battles are not to be fought. Sometimes when the devil brings a battle against you, it's your promotion. But you need to know the protocol to turn the battle around. They came to destroy you, but you are going to take the spoil. Because if you can praise, you can change the matter. Somebody went and spoke to your boss, and your boss suddenly turned against you. Don't cry. Praise. You followed that person, labored with that person until he became a senator. The moment he entered office, they came and said, "You are the black sheep." Don't cry. Praise. You are doing a business. After you have gotten the land, secured everything, they went and spoke to somebody. They want to take the land from you. Don't cry. Praise. No matter what the challenge is, there is a miracle looming in the atmosphere. If you stir it through praise, the power of God can come down. And when the miracles begin, you will be the first to partake of it. A Christian is not disadvantaged. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is divinity expressed through humanity. But the reason many are not seeing God manifest through them is because they don't know the protocol. If your mouth is shut and you can't thank God, your life will be small. Thank God for conferences like this, where they bring anointed minstrels to lead us to praise. That's beautiful. Use it as an opportunity to activate yourself. But let it not stop with the conference. Some of you need to get musical instruments in your house. I was in Zambia 2 weeks ago. The leading professor of neurosurgery. I was in a crusade there 4 weeks before. And he was healed. And so when I visited 2 weeks again, he asked for me to dedicate his hospital. Because he built a specialist neuro hospital. And when I went to his house to pray, "Let's pray," Oga went and carried a guitar. When the man started singing, the whole atmosphere changed. All of us knelt down, including me who came to pray for him. All of us knelt down because he downloaded heaven into his sitting. This is an elderly person who has hit the, is a professor of neurosurgery. In fact, he graduated the first 6 neurosurgeons of Zambia. But he knew where to find his God. And he was playing the guitar and singing. And suddenly everywhere changed. Apostle knelt down. He needed to be the one to bless all of us. Because he knew how to change the atmosphere. Listen, don't only praise God when you are in your bedroom. If you don't know how to play the musical instrument, go and buy a speaker. Gather the songs. Lock your door. Play it. And when he's singing, you join them and be singing. Although your voice is bad, it will be lost in the good voice. And then you will be hearing it as if you are the one singing. And you are dancing and you are celebrating and things are happening. Miracle working atmosphere. Nothing about your life cannot change. And there's no situation that is too late. If you introduce the equation of praise, it can turn around. And when it turns around, you continue with your praise. Why do we praise? Number 4. Praises establishes you. You know why some people have miracles once in a while? They don't know how to continue with the praise. In Luke 17, from verse 14 to verse 19, Jesus met 10 people who were leprous. And he told them, "Go show yourself to the doctor." And as they were going, they were all healed. 9 forgot to come back to give thanks. They forgot to come back to praise the name of the Lord. Only one came back. When that one came back, Jesus told him, "Where are the nine?" That means God is waiting to hear from you. He's waiting to hear from you. When your praise goes up, he says, "Yes, now he's qualified to be established. We just started him up, now we can establish him." And the moment the guy showed up, in verse 18 and 19, he said, "Go and be made whole." So that guy was not only healed of leprosy, the hands that were eating up grew back. The legs that were eating grew back. The shame that he suffered, the identity crisis, everything was turned around. So he was not just free, he was acquitted. And so if you want to be established, the praises of God must dwell on your lips perpetually. Please, let nothing take praise from you. It is too powerful a weapon for you not to wield in your lifetime. Number 5. Why do we praise? What is the excellency of praise? Praise provokes encounters. In Psalm 100 verse 4, it said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." And so anybody who begins to praise God, the realm opens to him. Why do you think sometimes you came to church frustrated, you came to church discouraged, and then the psalmist begins to praise God? You don't know when you lift up your hands. You don't know where you forget everything and God begins to talk to you. It opens you up to the realm of God. God does not hinder or stop those that praise him. He wants to hear from them. And when you start, God himself will draw himself close to you so that you can experience more of him. So when you find a Christian who is not dry, it's because he's a man of praise. And when you find a Christian who is always dry, like drought, it's because he doesn't know how to praise God. There are people who move about carrying spiritual disposition. They close their eyes, walk like spiritual men, but they are dry. And then you find other people who are simple, joking, just themselves. But everywhere they come, God shows up. Because their life is full of a fountain of ever-flowing praises. And because they are praising God, they have encounters in their bathroom. They are sleeping, they are having encounters. They are driving, they are having encounters. They are colliding with God, and God is colliding with them. And so their life becomes a continuous flow of unending encounters. It will become your story as you leave this conference. When you have encounters, your life cannot be the same. Something must rub off on you if you meet God. Nobody who met God was the same. And so if you truly want your life to become a wonder to your generation, then you must crave for encounters. And one of the laws of encounter is the law of praise. The more you praise God, the more God reveals himself to you. Because it shows that you are grateful for what he has done for you. And it shows that you discern him for who he is. These are the powers and the excellencies that praises bring into your life. Very quickly, I'm trying to dodge the time, but the time is haunting me. That's why I left glory. Even this one is a body. 5 ways of praising God. Let me just list them quickly. Number 1 is through a heart posture. Before you ever start singing, before you ever start talking, make sure your heart is right. If your heart posture is not right, your singing is vain. Your activity all will not be accepted in the realm of God. So praises does not begin with talking or singing. It begins with a heart posture of gratitude. That's how you prepare yourself to appear before the Lord. I already quoted for you Psalm 116 verse 12. The guy's heart was full of too much gratitude. He said, "What shall I render to God?" That's what informs the activity. He's giving resources, it's not enough. He's singing, it's not enough. He's dancing. Because the extent to which you can praise is actually quantified by your heart posture. A man whose heart is not right cannot go far in the journey of praise. And so the first way to praise God is a heart posture. Listen, you've got to prepare yourself. Sometimes sit down, count your blessings. Tell yourself of the truth, I am here because of the mercy of God. I know I studied in Harvard. I know I work hard. I know how to do this business.
But if God were not with me, I would not have gotten here. Prepare your heart posture to be grateful. See, don't just come around the house of God and be full of activity. Stop for a moment. How did I get here? How about the battle that I fought 4 years ago? Everybody gave up on me. How about the harassment? How about the embarrassment? How about the health crisis? What happened when I didn't have school fees to pay for my examination? Oh, I remember 15 years ago when I was being pushed out of class because I didn't pay school fees. Today I'm a CEO. So before your marketing skill, there was the mercy of God. Oh, how about the pain I was feeling in my heart that I couldn't walk 4 years ago? Where did the pain go to? The mercy of God. You have to prepare yourself. Sit down. Train your heart to honor God. Train your heart to be grateful towards God. Because if you are not careful, even when miracles are happening in your life, you will no longer be conscious. It will become normal to you. But when you train your heart to be grateful, even the breath on your nostril will be a reason for you to always appreciate God. Teach your heart to be grateful to God. That's where praises begin from. All of us can be singing the same song, but the power of our praise are in different energy levels. Because it's not about the song. It's about the heart with which the song is sung. It's not about the kneeling down. It's about the heart with which you are kneeling down. It's too important. He said, men look on the outward. He said, but I, the Lord, I look on the heart. A man can sing 50 praise songs. Very powerful. But his heart was not connected. Just singing because he knows the song and he loves the melody. That's not a praise. It begins with heart posture. The second way to praise God is through utterances that pleases and glorifies God. Utterances. Hebrews 13:15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. You must become very skillful in talking to God. One of the greatest power of priesthood is utterance. You must know what to tell God. And that's why sometimes you study the word. See, go and read the Bible. See the way the prophets of old spoke about God. Who is like unto thee, O God? There's none beside thee. Fearful in holiness. Glorious in praise. Doing wonders. Hallelujah. The guys, they are talking and you are wondering, how did they are so poetic in their communication. Because they are deliberate about what they say to God. They don't just talk haphazardly. They speak from the place of gratitude. So much so that it impacts their utterance. And a man is talking, it's like honey from his lips. Because of the way he can coin the word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? And you are, how do you compare God to light? That's praise. They know how to give glory to him. And as God hears it, he is moved. Because he loves it. He said, all things were created for thy pleasure. And one of the ways you give him pleasure, tell him sweet things. So men become skillful when they start wooing the woman. You are the sugar in my tea. You are the only honey that is in my life. But when they come to talk to God, Heavenly Father, we give you glory. Thank you. You see your husband, oh honey, how you doing? You are saying sweet things. Even your voice changes. But when you come to God, Lord, thank you. We are grateful for all that you have done. Praise your name. Be skillful, be poetic, be deliberate. See, look for the best words. Use them to glorify God. Use them. Let it become a deep intercourse and romance. So much so that it's sacred, that whenever you speak, God knows it's your voice. Why do you think he loved David so much? The man was a master. He was like a cunning artificer. He knew what to say and God will move. When David starts talking, God moves. And he said, it's the apple of my heart. I love this man. This man, I love him. When God speaks to David, he says, once has the Lord spoken, twice have I heard. How did you hear twice? Because his word is sweet to his hearing. He pays attention to obey. And when God hears such people, he's moved. Number three, how do you praise God? You praise God with a dance. With a dance. Don't be dry in his presence. Psalm 69 verse 30. He said, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song, and I will magnify him with a dance or with thanksgiving. I will dance before the Lord. I'm not ashamed that he made me. I'm not ashamed that I'm all I am because of him. That's why I told you, even kings like David danced until they were naked. That's how you praise God. This thing is an act, and you must master it as a child of God. Have your own dancing step for God. Have it. And so when it's God, you start dancing. Everybody, oh, if he knows this one belongs to me. This one is my own. Nothing on earth can make him dance like that. Nothing on earth. Give God your own dance and let him know. I'm not talking about all this carnal worldliness where people go pick dancing from garbage, gutters, and they are coming to church to do it. I'm talking about something that broke out of your spirit spontaneously because of who God is to you. How you praise God. Finally, how do you praise God? Praise God through gifts and service. You know, some people think praise is just about singing. You can come to the house of God, you are a professor, but you are part of those who are the ushering unit. You are not talking, but God knows. That act of humility is gratitude to God. You are making a statement that I am nothing before him. And everything I am, he made me. And when God sees it, he knows that this one is a praise giant. You will be shocked that in the church, those who praise more are not those who are singing. You are a billionaire, but you are part of protocol. And sometimes you are protocoling somebody who cannot have a job in your company. And then he comes, he's acting like a big man. He says, yes, how are you? How are you? He says, oh, fine, sir. Fine, sir. It's not unto you, it's unto God. It's unto Yahweh. Fine, sir. He says, yeah, you are blessed. You are blessed. You know, this generation, this our young generation, the arrogance is much. As we came to the airport today, mommy who came to pick us, I said, this one is my mother. But she came, ma'am, welcome, sir. And I said, thank you, ma'am. Let me help myself. You are not okay. It's unto God. When they now introduce themselves, you now say, okay, sorry, I made a mistake. But that's how you praise God. When you come, put your portfolios outside. Put your title outside. Humble yourself before him. And don't just humble yourself. Bring a gift. Present it to the Lord. And when God sees it, he knows that you are grateful. Psalm 96 verse 8, here's what the Bible says. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. Don't just show up and they say, oh, they want to give to God. You say, what do I have here? No. Prepare yourself. This one belongs to God. Let it be sacred to you. It may not be much. That's all you have. The widow brought two mites. Jesus said she gave more. Because that's what her all. That was her all. And she gave it with honor. Prepare yourself. If it's 100 naira you have, put it in order. And give it like your all with honor. God sees your heart. And he sees that action. And to God is a loud shout of praise. And as you are doing it, the glory and the power of praise will just be manifesting in your life. And your life begins to move from one level of glory to another level of glory. And people can no longer understand you. How is he doing this? It's the hand of God. How is he moving so fast? It's the hand of God. Why is the voice beginning so attraction? It's the hand of God. Why is the company growing? It's the hand of God. I know I do my best in hard work. I follow principles. I do all I need to do. But the hand of God is there. And it's the hand of God that makes all the difference. Do you want to praise God for 5 minutes? You want to give God praise for 10 minutes? You want to give God praise with a shout? You want to give God praise with a dance? You want to give God praise with singing? Somebody shout! Somebody shout! Are you ready to dance? Are you ready to shout?
Are you ready to sing? But remember, don't be lost in the emotion. When you are praising, what happens? Multiplication. When you are praising, what happens? Deliverance. When you are praising, what happens? Miracles, signs, wonders. When you are praising, what happens? You are established in your miracle. Are you going to do it with consciousness? Give me some sound at the background. Sister, can we have you for another 5 minutes? Some people are anointed for this thing. I beg you, forget yourself. This is not a revival meeting. I didn't come with fire. I didn't come with mystery. I showed you simple things that can change your story. So forget everything. Let's sing. Let's dance. Let's praise God.
We raise our sound. We raise our sound. Ekabashaya. For you.
We rise
up.
Now lift your hands toward heaven. There are different dimensions of the Spirit. And praise is one of it. When you give God praise, things happen. Right now, every challenge in your life, I want you to look away from it and look unto Jesus. Mountains are about to be uprooted. Gates are about to open. Miracles are about to happen. When you praise Him, there's multiplication. When you praise Him, there's deliverance. When you praise Him, doors open. When you praise Him, miracles happen. Thank you, Father. Just lift your hands now and be quiet. I'll just make three simple declarations and we'll shut down. But it will shock you what will happen and begin to happen in your life. Father, you have taught us tonight that when we praise you, there's multiplication. I decree now in the name of Jesus, everyone here and everyone following online, let there be supernatural multiplication in your life. Your health, your family, your business, I decree multiplication now. Araketo Kaparati, Dalila Hadias, Bakataros, Rahine, Marai, Barak, Zezezavakato, Ragatiana, Mantia, Totale, Eredatiana, Manda Ruata, Bakaria, Tetakaros, Regiana, Mandarina, Zaparakano, Salakaya. I decree multiplication now. When we praise Him, deliverance is take place. And so right now I decree and I declare, anyone under the sound of my voice who is in bondage of demonic oppressions, in the name of Jesus, right now, come out of that captivity. Come out of that captivity. Come out of that bondage. I command the chains to break now. I command the doors to open in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And finally, when we praise God, miracles happen. Any area of your life where you require an urgent miracle, be it in your health, be it in your relationships, be it in your finances and businesses, I stand on this altar, joining faith with God's servant, and I decree and declare, receive that miracle now. It says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Our light affliction, it says, they are but for a moment, but they work for us an exceeding weight of glory. I decree this moment, let there be miracles in your life now. It says, now faith is. And so I decree now, receive your miracle. Receive your miracle. Healings are taking place. Every bodily affliction, they are hereby destroyed. Ear conditions, eye conditions, organ infections, blood conditions, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. I command growths to disappear. Tumors in the breast, pie, cancer, whatever form of tumor, I decree now, come out of their bodies. Every bone infection, every muscular infection, in the name of Jesus, I decree, receive your healing now. Receive your miracles now. In the name of Jesus. Every relationship that have been affected,
every businesses that have gone down, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I speak that miracle into it now. Receive it now. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Please lift your hands toward heaven. There's an anointing coming upon people now. There are 24 of you that the Lord will anoint now for special ministration. He said God did special miracles by the hand of Paul. Ushers, please help me. Some of them are in this room, some of them are in the overflow. Wherever you are standing now, I speak that unction. I release that grace. I release that dimension. Ushers, find them now. By the power of the Holy Ghost, step into that unction. Step into that realm. Step into that realm. Step into that realm. I release it. Receive it now. Special dimension. Special graces. Special manifestation. Special unction. Receive it now. Some of you will receive double for your shame. And in this week, what will happen to you will be greater than what has happened to you in the last 5 years. God will aggregate your miracles and release them to you at once. I decree, let there be compensation for your troubles. Let there be a release for your pain. Receive dimensions. Father, we are out of time, but hear this. I came to teach you a mystery tonight, and the power and the excellency of what you have learned is not just what happens in this auditorium. My God, I'm seeing somebody here. You have been going through, there's a pain on your chest like a weight. You have carried it for over 2 weeks now, and that affliction has frustrated you. I'm feeling that somewhere by my left here. Is there anybody there like that? I'm seeing that pain. My dear, come. Put your right hand on your chest. That thing leaves you now. The Lord is touching people. On this road there, on this road, close to the wall, on this road towards the back, I'm seeing somebody that is having something in your throat. You can't even swallow. In the past 2-3 days, there's been this pain. It's a terrible affliction. It's even affecting your voice now. On this side of the auditorium. Where is that person? Can you lift your right hand? I curse that affliction. I curse that affliction. You are free this moment. In the name of Jesus. Whatever it is in your life that shut down before now, there is the power of resurrection. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Ah, it's now the realm started calling me. Ah. As you walk out of this meeting, you will go with the glory of God. You will take it to your family. You will take it to your job. And you will become a sign and a wonder to your generation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, hear me. You are here tonight. I don't want you to miss out of what God is giving. You know that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. If the trumpet were to go off now, you are not sure that God will call you to Himself. This is an under opportunity. The best thing God can do for you is to give you His life.
and it's the most simple thing available for the taking on earth. All you need to do is to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and to declare that He is your Lord. Believe in your heart that He died for you and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He's Lord. Maybe you are here. We don't want you to miss out on what God is doing here. You have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. Can you just lift your right hand? Let me pray with you quickly. You cannot miss what God is doing here now. Can you lift your right hand? Wherever you are, all of the overflows. If you are lifting your hand, can you take a step of faith and meet me on the altar here? Quickly. Those of you who are watching at the viewing centers, you can go to the front of the screen very quickly. Don't miss out on what Jesus is doing tonight. Walk up to the front of the screen quickly. And you receive the life of God and your life changes forever. Keep coming. Don't be shy. Don't allow any demon to intimidate you. You are making a public declaration. And you are taking a public stand for Jesus. Come quickly to me tonight as I lead you to Christ. Encourage them. Clap hands for them. Clap hands for them. Yes. Get to the front of the screen. Be bold. This is the best decision of your life. Keep clapping. They are coming. Your hand clap is encouraging them to come faster. This is why you came, to receive the life of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Allow my brother to come forward. Come forward.
You are God alone. From before time began, You are on Your throne. You are God alone.
Your Father. Now place your right hand on your chest. It's a sign of surrender. The way you receive the life of God is to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins and He rose from the dead on the third day for your justification. And then you use your mouth to say, Jesus, become my Lord, become my Master, become my owner. If you do that, the life of God is imparted into your spirit. And this is what you have come to receive tonight. Can you say with me, if that is your position, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in my heart that Jesus is your Son. He died for my sins. He rose from the dead on the third day for my justification. I confess with my mouth today that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. In Jesus' precious name, I have declared. Lord, I pray that You keep these ones, cause them to walk in the light of Your countenance, and let Your Spirit preserve them until the day of Your coming. And Lord, from today, let their lives begin to find meaning and essence, even as Your power is manifested through them. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name, we have declared. Amen. I don't know. Are there counselors? Thank you so much. Look at the left. There are counselors there. Just go with them. Go with them. Have you been blessed tonight? Give the Lord a shout. Remember, we didn't hear this. We didn't have time to praise God. But as you are going home, start praising until you reach your house. And when you reach your house, do a praise party. At least for 1 hour. Gather all the praise songs you know. Play them on very high volume. Sing, dance, and celebrate God. I'm a rugged praise man. It's time that tamed me tonight. But your life will never be the same again. One more time, give the Lord a shout.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.